The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So my dad and I have this bet going. Well, it's not really a bet. It's a challenge. Well, it's not even really a challenge. Maybe, you know what it is? It's a competition. There are numbers involved, but there's no money or anything like that. Sort of separately, we each gave the other pedometers for Christmas. So of course, we're using those to compete against each other. Who can walk more in a day? Who can walk more in a week? You know, the square root of our walking through the time, all that stuff. There are a couple of other friends and I who have this thing going where we're trying to keep track of what we're doing and we're trying to kind of goad each other on. I mean, that's what it really is. It's not a challenge, it's an excuse to razz each other, which is fun, and actually, it's perfect for Lent because it helps me focus on my body, helps me focus on my health, helps me center myself a little bit and remember to sort of pay attention. It's a great add-on during Lent because at the end of the night, an hour or two before I go to bed, I look at the number and I think, I could go for a walk. Yeah, I could go for a walk. And so I find myself having this sudden Lenten discipline at 10:30 at night of walking around the neighborhood. Oh, I'm a night owl. 10:30 is nothing. At 10:30 at night, I go on these, 15-minute walks. It doesn't have to be very much, just to kind of bump yourself up into the next category, to pad my numbers. It's beautiful out there. It really is a wonderful Lenten thing. Because I go out, last night the moon was out. It was resplendent. It was so bright. It was somehow both bright and dark at the same time. You know what I mean? The city is very different at that point. It's not silent, but it is quiet. It's not dark like there's no light, but it's dark in the sense that it's not bright. And there are things going on. The waves are crashing, and a car drives by, and people are walking their dogs. But it's still somehow still too. So it's lovely. It's a good time for prayer. It's a good time for being with God. There's space for my thoughts to kind of unfold, and space for God to kind of come in. And in that bigness, it's intimate. In that darkness, it's intimate. There's something growing there in that relationship, and it's wonderful, it's nice. It's good to be back with God, connected again. Nicodemus went out walking in the dark as well. Nicodemus gets a bad rap, I think. It's not to say that he didn't know what was going on. It's so easy to say, when you're in the dark, that means you're lost, or something like that. And I'm not sure that's always the case. I think Nicodemus just wasn't sure what was going on. I think Nicodemus had a wonderful relationship with God. You know, he was a leader in the temple. He was one of the leadership group of the entire Israelites. Remember, this takes place at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just been baptized. He's walked around and called his disciples to him, brought them together. He's gone to the wedding at Cana, performed his first miracle. And then for the first Passover that they're together, they go back to Jerusalem. And the crowds start whispering about this guy they've seen who changed water into wine and who does miraculous things. And word winds its way back to Nicodemus and to the other leaders of the Israelites. And there's contention. They're not sure what to do. If Nicodemus knew exactly what it was, he would have walked out in broad daylight. But he's not sure. But he wants to know. He's curious. So he sneaks out and looks for the light that's calling him. He sees this light shining, leading him on, calling him in. And he comes close to it and asks, is that you, God? Is that the God I know? Trying to find this lost thing. And so Jesus, when Nicodemus approaches him, Jesus gets metaphysical, as he always does in the Gospel of John. He says, Nicodemus, you're still in the dark, man. It's like you just haven't been born yet. Not born my way, Jesus says. You're still waiting on something. So come on out. It's time. You're due. You're done. Come out. Jesus is coaxing Nicodemus like a midwife to come out of the warmth, the intimate darkness where he's being knit together, into the world, the loud, bright, noisy world, sometimes full of pain, but often full of joy, full of things, as Jesus says, being lifted up and being cast down. But as much as God loves the intimate, dark world, God also loves the bright, brilliant world full of joys and pains, made that way. So, I offer you Nicodemus as a guide for us in these Lenten times. He might just be a signpost for our own Lent, because the truth is that we can find ourselves in the dark sometimes, and that dark can be scary sometimes. We can feel lost. It can be confusing, and we might not know which way we're going. But it can also be warm and gentle and inviting. It can be intimate with God. And that's not a bad thing. But remember that Jesus was the light guiding Nicodemus out of the dark. Jesus was the midwife birthing Nicodemus into full life, calling him out into the greatness of the world. Because if you don't remember, Nicodemus has a story to him, an arc that's wonderful in the Gospel of John. This is not the only time we see him, thank God. Time goes on, and at one point, the Pharisees are arguing about how to respond to Jesus. They're really worried that he's going to topple their entire hierarchy. And Nicodemus sort of slyly says, well, we don't really know what he's about. You know, let's just listen to what he says. He argues for a little calming down and maybe even buys Jesus some time. And then later, when the Jews finally have had their fill and the Romans crucify Jesus, Nicodemus is there after the cross. He brings pounds and pounds of aloe and spices to wrap Jesus' body in, having finally been birthed into fullness, having finally been brought into relationship with Jesus and fully knowing him and deeply mourning him. He knows this was the one, and so he rushes to help. So as we reflect on our lives in this Lenten time, Nicodemus asks us where we're gestating in the dark, where we're slowly developing, and where we're ready to be born into full life with Jesus. Like Nicodemus, a full life with Jesus can take us to Jesus' grave, but it can also take us to the glorious resurrection afterwards.